Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
I am Turok!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm also Joel. And I'm also introducing the episode, and I almost forgot about that part. Today we're going to look at...
You just ended and wistfully stared off into the distance. And I'm also Joel.
Something else meant to happen here? I don't know. Or do I care? Also not.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. And today we're going to be looking at Battletoads 2020 and other games.
Hell yeah. Battletoads.
I didn't realize they were making another Battletoad.
Neither did I, baby. But on Game Pass, Battletoads popped up and I was like, huh, what's this then?
Do you reckon when they were making Battletoads back in the 90s or whatever, and they made that impossible level we were on the scooter that, like, everyone hated?
Yeah.
Do you reckon, like, one of the developers or the programmers was like, hey, should we not do this? And they're like, don't worry. It'll become such a talked about thing in the future that they'll remake it in the year 2020. The game will be so bad now that a good game or another game will... That's how you ensure a sequel. Dog shit. That's the Battletoads philosophy.
So, Battletoads isn't considered dog shit, despite what Jackson has just said.
That's crazy. I've never heard a good word about Battletoads.
No, it's just hard. Video games can be hard and good, Jackson.
I've heard it's too hard.
I remember playing it and enjoying it when I was a kid.
You were a child. You didn't know.
Jackson, it is too hard. You're right. And there is like a game-breaking glitch. Well, not breaking, but basically glitch when you're playing two-player, which is... there's a mistake in one of the later levels that means that the second player's controller stops working. So you have to eat through all of your lives at that point. So that's pretty funny. Anyway, not talking about the old Battletoads, which is good and Jackson's an idiot. Things can be hard and good. I'm talking about the remake. Well, no, it's a legacy sequel. Like what they do with movies, except this is a video game. They're hey, this is set 27 years after the first Battletoads. And you're like, oh yeah, okay.
Surely cool. The Battletoads are dead, right?
No.
Surely the lifespan of a toad isn't 27 years.
It's magic and whatever. I mean, there's fellas in this universe
and
they're just big
frogs. Average Kang toad lives for 10 to 15 years, apparently.
Well, that's heaps.
Yeah, man. Toads live a lot longer than I envisioned. Huh.
If you're given a toad the moment you're born, you're... mature enough mentally for it to die when you're 15. That's pretty cool.
So, if you're given a toad when you're born, you are, when it dies of old age, you will have the mental
15,
capacity
you're like,
to
I'm a
grieve.
Teenager now, I got the capacity to grieve about this. I can understand. That's cool. It's kind of the perfect pet, really, in a lot of ways.
Teaches everyone about, it looks after your child when you can't, when it's a baby.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which toads are famous for doing. Guardians.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But then they also teach your children about grief.
Yeah. Plus, they keep the child's playroom area bug free.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And small rodent free, depending on the size of the toad.
Yeah, kids shouldn't touch it though. Cane toads are poisonous. But... Correct. No, kids just shouldn't lick it. They can touch it. They just can't lick their hands afterwards, which is another important lesson. So...
Are cane toads poisonous?
Yeah. Yeah, no, dogs shouldn't eat them.
But they do.
Dogs should eat a bunch of things that we wouldn't consider poisonous, Jackson.
Cane toads have venom-secreting poison glands, also known as parotoid glands.
Wait,
swellings on each shoulder.
Have I read this or made up a lie? Is there like a problem with certain dogs like going out and licking cane toads and getting real high?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's what happens.
Jackson's answer does not distinguish between whether or not that was something you read or a lie you made up. Jackson just wants it desperately to be true.
Look, same.
I mean, it doesn't. Looking up the symptoms of ingesting cane toad poison, it doesn't sound fun. Rapid heartbeat, excessive salivation, convulsions, and paralysis, and then death. Do you think there's a lot of dogs out there that are like, I'm not salivating enough. I need to salivate hard.
I started writing cane toad licking, and Google auto completed to dog. So maybe it's a problem. I don't know. There's a video, Dobby the dog tripping on cane toads.
Maybe we should go out and lick cane toads as the lesson.
That's maybe paralysis is good.
You hit 15 and you lick your cane toad as it dies in your hands as a way of saying goodbye.
Teaches your kid about drugs now and why they're bad.
Exactly. You know how your cane toad died? That's because you did drugs. The cane toad was also drugs. That's the lesson. What anyways, Battletoads good or what?
Yeah. So it starts. The first level takes place, and then you get to the end, and then a light appears at the top, and it turns out that the Battletoads have been locked in a warehouse for 26 years and have just gone crazy. So that's pretty good.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
They find out that they're not famous anymore, and no one gives a shit about Battletoads. So then they go meet their old villain. Mm-hmm. Look, there's a story to this, and it's told in like kind of like an Earthworm Jim style, I guess, which was entertaining enough. Mm-hmm. There's like full animation cutscenes in this, which was
cool,
weird, and the humor sometimes lent a little too like Deadpool-y, something that I famously hate.
Yeah,
but it also I don't know, it's also just kind of like weird animation-y stuff, like Earthworm Jim, etc. Even a bit Adventure Time-y, I guess.
So I think the thing with Battletoads is that because, like, they've been memeified kind of over the years, so I feel like any game that brings them back
is famous Battletoads memes.
No, I don't mean like they've become like people are making Battletoads memes. I just mean that they've
Pepe the Frog. He's a frog.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Are you once more thinking of Crazy Frog? Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, if I'm imagining the Battletoads, I'm imagining Pepe the Frog, Kermit the Frog, and the Crazy Frog. And I'm like, those were the Battletoads from history class.
Are you imagining Crazy Frog with wiener and balls? Oh, or censored?
Crazy Frog in brackets, wiener out. Close brackets. No, I just mean that the Battletoads, like, discussion of the Battletoads isn't like, oh, the Battletoads were a game from the 80s, you know, this was the history of it or whatever. I feel like internet discussion about the Battletoads is like, lol, Battletoads, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's like what I every time I see like a like a famous video game man on YouTube or something, or like
I love any famous video game man on YouTube. Jackson, my favorite channel.
At some point in like 2008, did you watch like an angry video game nerd review of Battletoads? And you're like, oh yes, the internet. It loves Battletoads.
Everyone hate Battletoads.
No, I think, like, I don't know, Cracked back in the day and, like, various YouTubers. I don't know. The Battletoads discourse
top
always
five
seemed,
games that are hard on Cracked.
Always seemed a bit meme-y. So that's, I just thought it's not a shock that that's the kind of humor that Battletoads has. Because it's not like a Crash Bandicoot where the discussion is like, oh, yo, those were fun games. Everybody loved them, whatever. You can bring out a Crash Bandicoot 4 and everyone's like, great, more of the same. I feel like you need to address the Battletoads elephant in the room.
Well, I feel from like my experience, like, because I think I was sort of that age bracket where Battletoads was sort of like, you know, 4 when it first came out.
Yeah.
It sort of fell into that same kind of like side-scroll beat-em-up that like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game was.
Very similar to that. And the reason it's remembered is because that and the Turtles game was very hard and considered like innovators.
Yeah,
and Jackson, like, and I don't know what he's doing.
I'm not sure.
He's just making stuff
what
up.
What about the prank calls to the porn stars? Do you know about the porn stars prank call thing? P-A-W-N.
I don't.
So there was like a massive meme that went around where people would call porn stars and ask them if they had Battletoads. And porn stars was like, we don't have Battletoads. It was a massive thing. It's on the Battletoads Wikipedia page.
Is it maybe just because Battletoads is fun to say?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe, but it's still been memeified. People know. The people agree with me.
But when it came out, because I remember playing like Battletoads and the Turtles in Time with my brother, and like again, they were like, they were hard, but they were fun.
Yeah.
No, I've never played them, so I don't know.
Kind of a lot of opinions for a game you've never played.
Wow, I love how just sulky teen you just became. Your head down, just muttering to yourself, I don't know,
whatever. I haven't even played them. I don't even care.
Who cares, dude?
Enjoy your video games. I've been looking at nudie magazines I found in the woods.
I found a hustler, so whatever. I'm day set. I got my whole day planned out.
Video games are for babies anyway, so enjoy your Battletoads.
Enjoy your Battletoads, whatever. I'm going to read this issue of People. I don't care.
Yeah, it's going to be
good. I found my dad's old Playboys in a shed, so that's me set. I'm good.
Yeah, they've got sick articles about cars and also tittos, so yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty good, best of both worlds.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google image pictures of motorbikes later, so I'm pretty good for the rest of the day. I don't know.
It's a Battletoads.
Anyway, Jackson, shut up for a second. I'm sick of it.
Okay.
Whatever.
The sense of humor is more in line because it's made by Rare. So they obviously made things like Conker's Bad Fur Day. And whilst this game is definitely like way toned down from that, there's no swearing or any sexual references or anything like that. But it is kind of like that sense of humor. Like it's like very big. Silly. They've lent into the fact that the toads are gross to look at. Like some of their attacks, I haven't even said what type of game this is. Look, Jackson is really derailed this and wrecked the episode, to be honest.
Good. I don't even care. I'm glad it's ruined.
That's great.
Can't wait to hear what he's been playing and for me to just have a tantrum. What? That's not even a game, Jackson.
Not even real. That's a fake video game from a movie you've brought. It's like on a sitcom where they're playing a video game and they're moving the controllers around like crazy level video game.
I'm assuming it's a side-scroll beat-em-up?
It's a side-scroll beat-em-up, but parts of the game are also influenced by, I guess, different genres, but in a similar kind of game style. So most of the levels are side-scroll and beat-em-ups. But there is the motorbike level, or hoverbike level is there as well. But rather than being side-scroller, it's like from behind and you have to dodge obstacles that way. And as the game progresses, towards the end, there's a few like side-scroller puzzle platformer parts that feel very reminiscent of games like Limbo, which was surprising, but also a good, like just like a good mix-up. So you're not just cruising through side-scrolling beat-em-up levels the whole time.
I feel like you've got like the liberty when you're making a game today, like you're not limited so much that you can branch out. That's cool.
Yeah. Whilst they do definitely slow down the pace of the game, those levels, it is a nice break because they introduce them probably in the back third of the game. So whatever, I was like, yeah, this is sick. Much like the original game, three playable characters. It's three player, which is also a funny amount of players for a game to have. same three toads. They all have slightly different abilities. It's still the basic punch button. Everyone has punches and kicks. A special attack, which is just a more powerful punch or kick, but the toad transforms slightly. So one gets a big, ugly, awful foot and kicks with it. One toad somehow plays a video game that hurts people, like an arcade cabinet falls out of the sky.
All right.
And then there's like an uppercut button. The difference is, like, one of the toads is stronger, so, like, his punches do more damage. One's really quick, and another one has, like, dodges where they, like, teleport rather than dodging, which means it's harder to get hit.
Do they have distinct personalities, the battle toads?
Like, almost like the turtles?
Yeah.
Yes, yes they do.
Who's the Raphael?
Hey, what? Look, here's something about the Ninja Turtles. I never had a Ninja Turtles phase, and whilst I know their names, don't know their personalities. Okay. So everyone's like, right. I think Leo is the leader, right?
Who's the leader then? We'll just do it through archetypes.
So the game explains them. I just need to pull up their names.
Which one's
so
the Joel Dusha? That's all we need.
The strong one.
Okay, which one does machines? Sorry, is Adam. Which one's that?
So, you've got... This is a disaster. I think it's Rash, Puss, and, like...
Rash, Puss?
Is it one person called Rash, Parset?
No, it's like Rash is one person.
Oh, okay.
I think it...
Rash, Pimple, and Zits. I just looked it up.
Yeah, there we go. My internet stopped working briefly, which is scary because I'm recording this over the internet. But yeah, Rash, Zits, and Puss. So Rash... Wait, Rash, Zits, and Puss? Is that what you said?
No, Puss. Rash, Pimple, and Zits.
What am I talking
why
about?
Why are you getting Puss?
Where are you getting Puss from? Where do you... Puss, you just decided what was called Puss. Also, I don't know. Do you know the plot of the original Battletoads? Because I didn't. It's wild and confusing.
Yeah, they're fighting an evil queen or something.
So the original... The Battletoads were humans, computer technicians and roommates, and they tested the original Battletoads game by playing as the Toads in a virtual reality simulation. And it turned out that that was all a trick to get them trapped in the game. That's great. That means, like, who are they really, you know? Who are the Battletoads?
Well, in this, they're Toads. They're definitely roommates. And the game is like, and we're brothers. And then someone says, are we brothers? And then the other one says, I don't know. We never really made that clear. And continue.
Okay, so it's very much winking and a nod to the game-playing audience who love and treasure Battletoads.
Yeah, the Jacksons.
Mm. So it's a really love letter to the Jacksons of the world who just loved Battletoads back in the day and have no bad things to say about it.
Yeah.
I never criticized Battletoads.
The characters are introduced as one is the leader, one is the strong one, and one is the one that wears sunglasses. When the game introduces them, that's how. Rash wears sunglasses. I'm pretty sure Pimple is the
Michelangelo.
Strong one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And
the Jackson.
Zits is the leader.
Leonardo.
Yeah.
Leonardo. Yeah.
When you're playing single player, it has some elements that are a little different to some side-scrolling beat-em-ups. So you get to pick which toad you play as, but if you get killed, another toad then takes over, so you're still playing as the other toad, and the character that just died, their logo has a countdown on it, and when the countdown ticks down, they come back at half health. So basically, if you die at any point, you've just got to like be defensive for a bit, and you should be sweet. Which sounds easy, but then there's enemies later on in the game that just kill you in one hit, so it's scary regardless. look, it's really fun. And it was on, I got it on Game Pass, like, which I think I said at the start of the episode, of the episode, but honestly, this is all a blur. Again, mostly due to Jackson's discourse.
The Battletoads, they became a reference rather than a game we remembered. That's not my fault, blame the internet.
So is it, what's good about it?
It's easy to pick up and play. The chapters are divided, so it's like four acts, and those acts have chapters, and the chapters are relatively short, so it means you can just pick it up, play for 20 minutes, beat a chapter, put the controller down, it saves after everyone, so yeah, it's pretty chill like that. I didn't play it multiplayer, but I think it would be fun multiplayer. It looks cool. The graphics and stuff like that aren't gonna blow anyone away, but I don't know, it's still fun to look at, silly looking.
Is that even bad?
Yeah, some parts of it don't control super well. So the beat-em-up stuff's fine. But like some of the like later levels where they start incorporating entirely different gameplay, it feels a little clunky at points. Limbo also feels slow to play. And if that was their point of reference, I get it.
Yeah, fair.
It's might be a little short for the price point, but I didn't pay for it, so I don't know.
I ain't here to complain, baby.
Yeah.
You just hit a battle toads.
Yeah.
Get it. How many thumbs? What are we talking?
I'm probably going to give it 4 thumbs. I had fun with it. And I clocked it. It feels good to finish a Battletoads game.
Feels good to clock, baby.
Yeah.
Feels good to clock.
I'm going to roll. I think this is like, counting the Tony Hawk demo, I think I've clocked every game I've played for like the last month.
That's nuts. You're a machine. A
counting a
2-minute
demo with no goals as clocking it, though, does feel like cheating, but I'm happy to cheat and roll with it.
Count it. We're not going to hold you accountable.
No.
We care. Christ, no.
And now let's have a quick word from our sponsors.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Thank you, sponsors. Anyway, Jackson, what garbage have you been playing?
Well, I took a page out of the Joel Zammit book, not on the Switch store, on Steam, and I bought a game that was under $2.
Hey!
So I've been doing a lot of streaming recently, twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, come watch me. And I've been playing Cooking Simulator and quite enjoying it, but I kind of wanted a break, so I was like, what other simulator games are out there? So I just typed in simulator on Steam and had a peep. There's a lot of garbage, but a lot of the garbage looks funny. And so I bought one of the pieces of garbage, and that was Mother Simulator. Now, Mother Simulator sold me immediately on the ugliness of the baby. And I saw the baby. I was like,
yuck. An awful looking baby.
I'll grab it. I think there's this weird genre of I think there are a couple of different genres of simulator games. There's like your American Trucking Simulator, which Tom Walker loves to stream, twitch.tv/TomWalker is good. That looks great, is a professionally made game, great. Then you get these weird German ones that are like ski resort fire truck simulator, where they look like they were programmed by one orangutan, and they do not play well, and they are full of glitches, and they are a nightmare. There's a million menus, and they're no good for anyone. And then you have the games that I've been enjoying at looking into, which look like they were programmed by maybe 10 orangutans working in a team. Where there's not really polish, but it seems like they've understood that the jankiness of the game is really part of the charm. Mm. It's a game designed to be annoying to control and to be ugly to look at. And not in a way where it's like, you know, you get games where you're like, oh, clearly they put a lot of effort into making this look bad. Like, yes. It's a skill to make something look bad but be good.
Yeah, you kind of have to like understand the fundamentals to break it, you know.
Absolutely. But not Mother Simulator and games of its ilk. They just are like, if it's bad, that's funny. And so they didn't put the effort in. And they're right. It's so funny. So Mother Simulator, yeah.
Is this an official endorsement for Goat Simulator, a game that I famously hate? Because, hey, that's broken and they think that's funny, Jackson. To come on here and say that Battletoads is a meme and then be like, oh, simulator games that are broken are so funny.
No,
shut up.
Goat Simulator's like... I don't just get told outright to shut up enough in any of the jokes we do. Shut up! You're banned from talking for the next 10 minutes.
Aww. Sit in the corner.
Damn. No, Goat Simulator's like somebody took the orangutan making fire trucks downhill ski and gave him a huge budget and he still made the same game. But he was like, it's intentional, but he didn't say that because he's an orangutan.
But Jackson, what if they take that goat to space or whatever?
That's terrible. That's the orangutan just slamming the keyboard.
Jackson, the goat's tongue's really long. Isn't that funny?
Shut up, Goat Simulator. Shut your goddamn mouth.
He like a Spider-Man or something.
Spider-Goat. Is this funny? No, because they're trying to be funny. You know? So it's not funny. There's no jokes in Mother Simulator. There's just a baby that is very easy to drop and break its neck. That's enough.
Hey, so, real life babies are pretty easy to drop.
That's true. It's realistic. That's another mark for it. So the premise of Mother Simulator, bafflingly, I guess because they didn't want you to actually damage a real baby, is that you are in the future on a mother game show, a mother-based game show, and you have to look after this baby and you're on a timer. And so the baby will request certain things. So the first thing is something like a pacifier, which the baby won't just straight off the bat take. You have to take it to the sink and you have to wash it and then give it to the baby and the baby's happy. And that's the beginning, the most simple challenge the game presents you with. And then it gives you more complex challenges. And then it adds meters that are slowly going down or rising that you need to take care of. So the first one was food. I was like, oh yeah, okay, mothers get hungry. The next one was terrible diarrhea. I was like, okay, yeah, sure. I ate some bad shrimp, I guess. Got to look after the baby, but I also needed to rush to the toilet and shit my guts every 5 seconds. And then I think another meter they added was that I was sleepy and I needed to make a coffee. But clearly, and this is part of the janky charm, they couldn't or didn't want to animate a drinking animation. So instead, you're just holding the mug in your hand, tilt your head back so the boiling hot coffee scalds your face. And yeah, I guess the implication is that you've drunk the coffee and woken up. But I just like to think the pain of scalding your face has reinvigorated you and made you more and more prepared to look after your baby. There are, I think, 17 challenges in total. They get more and more complicated as you play.
A nice even number.
Mm. Nice even number of challenges to do. And then there's a survival mode, which I haven't done, but I think when I stream next, I will do, which is just like every challenge at once. See how long you go before you shit yourself to death or something.
I'm going to guess 2.5 minutes. I'm going on record
saying...
Oh, it'll
be so hard. Even just having to eat and having to shit were so difficult to do together because every time I ate food, I needed to shit more. So the amount of times I starved to death on the toilet, like, it happened at least 10 times. I think you were watching me when that happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, my tactic there would be not to wait until one of the meters is full and to deal with it when it's maybe half so that then both meters aren't operating at the same speed. But hey, I'm not an idiot, and I'm also not playing the game.
One's going up, and if you make the other one rise, the other one rises. It's complicated. Anyway, I clocked it. I beat the game regardless. I've clocked Mother Simulator. I am the ultimate mother.
I would feel comfortable leaving my children with you, yes.
Something that I think it's a shame that it doesn't add is like a you have neglected this baby, lose points. Some kind of meter about baby filthiness. So, like, there was a time that I would have definitely drowned the baby. One of the challenges that appears later on is that your baby does a really stinky shit that you can't just clean with talcum powder, and so you need to take it and run a bath for it. But sometimes for speed,
right,
I just...
Can usually clean baby shit with talcum powder?
That's the implication of the game, yes. Unless the baby's only pissing at that point, but... it's hard to tell really what the liquid in the diaper is.
So, Jackson, if a baby pisses its pants, your go-to is just a...
that shit.
Yeah,
okay. Talcum powder, chucking your diaper on. You yeet the filthy diaper at the window of your house, you chuck some talcum powder on, new diaper, baby's happy. Or at least that's the implication of the game. Hey, when it does a really filthy shit, you just need to make it sit in the bath for like 5 seconds, and apparently it's good. So... you know, the game ain't abiding to real-life baby shit dimensions or whatever. But I realized that it was quicker, or at least I thought it was very funny, to just drop my baby in the bath instead of... because you can press a button to drop it. I think it's like right-click to drop, left-click to place the baby. And I would right-click the baby to drop it in the bath, and it would land on its head, legs splayed, under the water. And I wish the game was like, you drowned the baby... try again. But unfortunately it doesn't do that, which is I guess kind of a shame.
So watching you play this, the one thing that kind of sucks about it is like when you get a game over for some reason, it doesn't tell you why. It's just like, you failed, retry.
Yeah.
But there's lots of different things that can go wrong. So it would be funny just to be like, well, just have a menu that's like, you fell asleep.
Yeah, yeah. Or just an animation for each. If I starve to death, it's just like me in the kitchen clutching at my stomach, keeling over, shitting my pants in the hall. Although I discovered later that when I shit my pants, I don't get game over. I just lose negative 15 time. So I think from that point on, I was like, well, I'll just shit my pants whenever. It's fine.
Real life.
Yeah, exactly.
Shitting your pants just takes 15 minutes off your life.
Yeah, it's not a game over. No. You're not going to die. You just shat yourself. That's fine.
Going to sleep, though, does kill you. For 8 hours. Yes. Then you wake up. You get better.
That's true. You come back. Again, I had a lot of fun playing this. I couldn't play this for any longer than I think I have. I think I'll do maybe one stream of playing it in survival, and then that will be that forever. But it costs $2, so sort of whatevs. One thing that is great, one thing that I really recommend, I would almost recommend everybody play it just for this, is one level introduces a vacuuming mechanic, where you can vacuum up your filthy house, which is full of spiderwebs and trash, for more time. And the soundtrack for that level is just through the roof. It is one of the best pieces of music I've ever heard. It's insane. Look, I think you can find the VOD of the stream to hear it happen. It only happens for that one challenge, nowhere else in the game. It's unlike any other piece of music. It's this kind of crunchy techno beat. It's like a goddamn circus. It's the best. It's
probably best described as electro swing. It's definitely not techno, but that's
okay. I don't know.
You had a crack.
I had a go. I took a gamble. You know, you should be proud of me for that.
Yeah, it's just like this big dump. So the rest of the game, because again, I watched some of the stream, and since you're talking music now and you've already embarrassed yourself, I'll take over for a little bit.
Thanks, man. Cheers, dude. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so the rest of the game has basically like menu music.
Yeah.
Just like a stuff like that.
It's Wii Resort music, basically.
Yeah, but then this one level has this massive electro swing song. That has lyrics as well.
Yeah, I think they keep... It's weird, because I think the lyrics are like, let's get started! But they keep saying that, and it's begun.
Yeah, it says...
We're halfway through the song.
It says, and now for something completely different, and the song, like, it kicks in, but then that just loops.
Yeah,
And also great. It samples Mortal Kombat and has the toasty guy in it.
If I could just play that, have that music over the entire game, I would. It's the best part of the game, hands down. It will lose a thumb for the fact that, so it has like music controls, like audio controls, but they do nothing. They are functionless. I started playing it and immediately I had to take my headphones off because it was so loud. And I was like, oh, I'll just go into the audio. And I turned it down and nothing happened. Nothing changed. And I was like, maybe I gotta close the game and reopen it. No. And then I was like, what if I turn them all the way down and nothing changed? Never. It's a lie. That menu is just a lie. They programmed it to look like you could, but you couldn't. They were like, no one's going to check. It's so loud. If you put a fake audio control thing in your menu, make it quieter so no one goes there. If you make it loud, people will figure out your deception like that, which I did. So that
orangutan's getting fired.
That damn orangutan. So look, I had a great time with this game. It's absolutely worth $2. Don't pay any more than $2 for it. The baby's ugly. The gameplay is frantic. It's not super difficult. You'll power through it in 17. It took me, I think, maybe 3 streams to do it. So like, what? You could do it in an hour, honestly. It's.
You did it in 6. Everyone else can do it in 1.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I was getting other challenges from donations while it was happening. But yeah. Look, I recommend it. It's great. I'd probably give it like 4 thumbs, which feels way too generous for the kind of game it was, but it's like the perfect example of the kind of game it was, so I think it deserves that. And it only loses a thumb for having a fake menu. In its entirety. You can also go credits, but the credits also seem fake. They seem like a Wikipedia reference page that's been copy and pasted. So I don't know what that's about.
Wish so, you had to go into credits and it was just a picture of an orangutan in a tree.
Bing bong.
Oh. He's a clever orangutan.
Hey, he's just like sucking on a banana in the picture with his big lips.
Oh, keyboard cool. at his toes.
Yeah.
Slapping it down. Yeah.
He's in an enclosure in my mind as well. Like, it's not like he's in like a anywhere he could be programming a game.
No.
They let him out for his free time. He can program Mother Simulator or any simulator game he wants. That's what he gets.
Yeah.
Lucky boy.
So, Zabit, what have you been playing?
So, I've been playing a game called Outlanders on Apple Arcade, so on my iOS on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is a, it's quite, it's a, like a town building simulator.
Cool. Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a town building simulator. So it's very reminiscent of like, hey, maybe I like RTSs. Is this?
This is 2 weeks in a row.
It's coming back. We're all going to be playing Age of Empires 2 together sometime in the near future. It's got to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I saw an ad for like, hey, StarCraft 2, 10-year anniversary. And I'm like, do I? Is that something I want?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I reckon.
Yeah. So it's very charming, very quaint. It's unlike the other game, Northgard, Northrend.
Far north.
Northgard.
Northgard, I was right. All right, because I was north something. Wow. Go me. There's no combat in this. It's primarily just a town building simulator. Although it is using that Viking aesthetic ish.
People love Vikings at the moment. Stuff. I don't know why. They're kind of boring. I hate Vikings. I'll say it.
It's not 100% Vikings. It's like some of them have like Viking inspiration, but then it's very much like it's more the medieval feudal type thing.
So you're Game of Thrones.
You're making crops or you're building crops, harvesting and crops, and there's like windmills and bakeries and that kind of thing.
But see, I don't like Vikings, but I love windmills. So you're sucking back in.
Well, yeah, there you go.
That's true about you. It is cute. I'm looking at pictures of it now. It looks really cute.
It is very cute. One thing that I found very interesting and very kind of like I was taken aback almost as soon as I started playing with it, it is that it is in portrait mode. So the whole game is in portrait mode. So it was very much like, well, Kyle, all right, let's see what this is going on. And it's a very easy game to pick up. It's quite addictive in terms of just like, you know, like kind of keep it going. You can have it going at normal speed. And it's very relaxing and sort of easy going. Or you can be like, no, times it by five and let things zip by and I need to get things done. There is a free mode, which I haven't delved into. I've just been doing like the levels.
Oh yeah,
and they have varying different challenges. So it's like, oh, we need to sort of like, you know, get this many, like this much food or in surplus or whatever, whatever. The one I'm currently doing, I think it's the second last level, which is like, we need to build this giant stone monument. And I'm like, okay, that seems pretty easy. But to do so, we have to just like ask everyone out of town to like to the outskirts so I can build this giant stone monolith in the center.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
hell yeah,
all right, buddy, that's good. So it's very easy to pick up in that you can kind of like, all right, it's very like linear in terms of progression of like, okay, cool. Well, I'll just build some forages. They'll get some mushrooms. And from that, I'll also build some like a woodcutter's hut. And then they'll sort of harvest logs from there. A sawmill will turn the logs into planks. Okay. And from that, I can build these things and sort of so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And the challenges are always generally, which is like, you know, make sure that you get these objectives before a certain end day. And you're like, okay, these are pretty easy. So initially it was kind of like, okay, I think I've got this covered. But the game, it lies on like you got to feed your workers or your village, and you
hunger
also
meter.
Have to kind of make sure that they are happy. So you've got a hunger meter. And happiness meter. Mm-hmm. It is very, very easy to get into a negative feedback loop. Like very quickly. So I think I was playing maybe level 2 or 3, and I'm like, right, let's try and make this happen. So I was like building a couple of like different like foragers huts and waiting for my village, because the villages start when they like you have like your adult and your kids and the kids grow up and they can go into the workforce and you're like, good. And so it was trying to feed these people, and it was just, well, it kind of went through so with the woodcutters, right?
Yeah,
so they cut down all the trees, but also what happens is that there's mushrooms that grow on the trees. So so as you can see, what's happening here is the more you cut down the trees to sort of clear land and get wood, you also lose access to the mushrooms that you were sort of needing to get food. So while I was playing this game, it's very easy to get, because once you're like, hey, your villagers are hungry, there's no food, they're unhappy, and now they start dying from starvation. So so what I sort of became known as, I guess, the woodcutter's famine of 1602 was very, very stressful for me. So while we're like, okay, this is very easy, we've got to clear some land because we're building farms now. And I didn't realize when you build farms, crops take a while to grow. So it was very much like, well, okay. And while this is all happening, we were experiencing a very unseasonal baby boom. And, well, there's a lot of mouths to feed when there's a baby boom. So in those preceding year, look, there was a lot of dead babies. Let's just say that.
All right.
It was very much being like, okay, this is going to be a great sacrifice for our village. We need to kind of hold on hope while we wait for... our crops to grow. So I'm like, all right, cool, crops will grow. In that meantime, I'll build some like log cabins so we can start harvesting logs so we can kind of expand our town without, not realizing that I was contributing to the famine as it was happening.
Does that have like a negative like impact on the way they see you as their leader? Are they like, this moron killed all the babies in the village?
No, they just weren't happy about it.
Fair. I wouldn't be either.
And a lot of it is just kind of like trying to like crawl back from basically like failing this level to try and see how far we can go and try and win it. So a
just
lot
like
of that.
To say, Jackson's changed his tune here because in his game he reviewed, he put his baby, the one baby he's in charge of, he put it in the toilet just to see if he could flush his baby in the toilet. Now all of a sudden you're sacrificing babies for good crops, and now his team. Oh no, that's bad.
I never said that was bad. I just wondered if the people complained. Yeah. I think it's funny.
So while I was doing this, I had one builder. Her name was Susan. This is great. You can kind of click on all the villages and see their names and like some of the aspiration. And Susan, well, her aspiration was that like she wished she was invited to more weddings. And you know what, Susan? I did too, but everyone keeps dying before they're of age. So I'm sorry, Susan. Well, I'm doing my best. So she was my builder, and basically I put a lot of my eggs in her basket to try and salvage the town. And so then became the Great Hope, which was just basically trying to feed a lot of the remaining children and adults while we waited for the crops to grow. And so that was another a challenging aspect of the game. But like I said, it's very, very easy to get into that negative feedback loop. And I lost that island several times on the graves of a lot of dead babies. So, that was a very challenging level. Because every building has a number of slots for workers, and so you have to kind of like really juggle, especially if you have say a low birth rate in your village or a high infancy mortality rate in your village. And I had one of those. Yeah, it was fun. But like it was stressful. That was very stressful,
and it kind of made the game
a lot more fun. It was like kind of because again, the game isn't necessarily like storyline. There's no real storyline. Each village or level has like its own village and village leader, and it's like a little tiny bit of like they want you to do this, but you know you don't really care. There's no real storyline. You're just like plugging along. So it's a lot more fun doing your own sort of storyline, as it were, for these particular villages.
Susie's Adventure.
Exactly. And, you know, and again, all she wanted to do was
see all
the village kids grow up and live full and happy lives and
get
married and have kids. and then I'm so sorry, but a lot of the wood cutting was on me. I decided that we needed a lot of clearing to build more farms, and I didn't realize that would result in no food.
This has made me remember the video game Frostpunk and want to play it again, because in that game you could resort to cannibalism, and I remember I did, and the people weren't happy, and it's reminding me of that, and now I want to play that again.
So the people weren't happy, Jackson, were you?
Oh yeah. They didn't want to eat each other, but I was like, no, you live in my kingdom, you eat your friends.
Yeah. From memory, I think they kicked you out.
Yeah, they did. They weren't super on my side there, rudely.
So like I said, it's very easy to do get into like again this negative feedback loop at the very, very start. So you really have to kind of pay attention to the sort of opening first, say 10 minutes of the level to kind of make sure there is a production line happening.
Yeah.
You can very much easily get into something of a child death spiral.
Yeah.
Which makes you just sort of like looking at your phone, doing the
But how many games can boast that, you know?
Exactly, you know?
And your mortality spiral.
It was something that is, it's very charming, it's very quaint, it's very nice, and it's meant to be very gentle, but at times very stressful. And so there's nothing quite like realizing that, okay, sure, a lot of my villagers are dying right now, but not the adults, because the adults can work, which means they can make more food. And if the adults are working and therefore working towards more food, and if, say, the non-adults, a.k.a. children, are dying, that just means less mouths to feed, which means that maybe we can live another day.
It teaches you some harsh lessons, you know?
Yeah.
It does. It's very confronting at times. That's and realizing cool. what it is that you're... Maybe the word happy isn't right, but what you're happy to sacrifice for good crops.
In the interest of keeping your village alive. How many thumbs would you say, all up?
All up, I'd say 5 thumbs. Highly recommend this game. It is a lot of fun, especially if you really like those sort of town building simulators or like an RTS, which I do apparently. Yeah. And if you have Apple Arcade, yeah, just grab it. It's you know, like the Game Pass, free. I'm looking it up now. I think on the iOS or like on a Mac or something like that, you can have it landscaped, which is, I guess, kind of cool. But yeah, I found it having it a portrait mode was weirdly refreshing. And so you can kind of zoom in and pivot the map so it doesn't hamper you at all. And it is very cute. And I do like going around the villages and seeing the hopes and dreams of some of the villages. Some are like, you know, for example, like Beatrice here, she spends too much time inside her own head, you know, just like us. Tyrone doesn't apologize for burping. It's human nature. So like Jackson. Battletoads, just this like has me. Its very own Jackson. So it's just very nice. Jared here, he likes to rock out with his socks out. Anne here, and she is more clever than funny. So, you know, it's very, very sweet to kind of look what's going on. And again, you do end up having... attachments to certain villages that will, you know, always you remember them and you'll cherish them. Like Susan, who, man, she just sacrificed a lot in her life to build that town. And I'm happy to say, like, from, like, I guess, atrocities, we built a pretty good village.
Yeah, hey, I'm proud of you.
You know, don't, you know, like a lot of villages built on, say, very small graves, you know, after several generations, you kind of forget that. The gravestones, the dates kind of fade, so you can't do the math, so it doesn't really matter.
Who knows when it happened? Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. And one
you
day,
wouldn't
Susan...
log it in the history books.
Exactly. No. So, and so, because no one was writing the history books because everyone was so busy just trying to survive. And so sometime, you know, even Susan will pass away, and anyone who had living memory of such trying times no longer exists, and then you have nothing but a peaceful village and everyone loves you.
That's a good lesson.
So yeah, 5 thumbs. Really fun game. Highly recommend.
So, 2 quick announcements before we end the episode. One, this one's just for Joel Zammit. If you love portrait mode stuff, I recommend checking out Quibi, the streaming app. It's free in Australia, and it's portrait mode only for some reason. Yes. That's right. Watch 10-minute videos in portrait mode.
Oh, finally. Oh, gross. I think I've seen ads for that. It makes me sick.
Yes, bad news.
I guess cinema was intended. Also, second announcement is that at the exact time that this episode drops, so does Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. And boys, I'm going to do an all-nighter. If you're listening to this, I'm still awake.
That's amazing.
And I got nothing else going on. I might as well stay up all night and play Tony Hawk. Yeah.
Look, fair, dude.
The closer, you know, we get to our 30s, Sam is already there. He can't do all-nighters anymore. You're losing.
It makes me physically sick. Like,
well, I reckon I'd be sick too, but we got, what, like a year?
You've got a year left? I've got 6 months.
Six months left, dude. You better get your all-nighters out.
Yeah, I will. Sad. To Tony Hawk. It's going to be good.
Relive your youth.
Yeah, and I think that brings today's episode to what, 14, 13 thumbs or something?
Something like that. Unlucky that number really 13 matter. Thumbs. Yeah.
Good. A lovely even 13 thumber.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
A baker's 12 and then one more, I think that's what they usually call it.
I think 13 is a baker's dozen, isn't it?
No, I think it's a baker's 12 plus one.
Yeah, you're right. No, Jackson, a baker's dozen is 12. Yeah, like everyone else's dozen.
Yeah.
Why is it distinct, then?
Why? What makes a baker special?
Yeah. Like, if anything, a baker's dozen should be 12 because bakers need to be really precise in terms of the measurement.
They need to be on the money. That is true. That is true.
Yeah. That probably makes... Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're probably getting confused somehow.
I'm just so goddamn dumb.
Yeah. A baker's dozen thumbs. And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Joel.
Enjoy your bread, everyone. Go to the baker. Tell them that Jackson thinks that you're stupid.
Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.